great stand-up and walk.
Hey, and we're back.
Much relieved.
What were we talking about? I want to talk more about that of the fear of dying and being stuck here, walking around and turning into a monster.
Go ahead, say something about it.
That's pretty much it.
It's
a fear. I don't know. Me personally, it's one of my biggest fears. That I'll still be walking around for years after my mind has gone.
That's a good possibility.
Just drooling. It's a very good possibility. It's a very good possibility. In the end, we all become zombies. Which actually kind of brings me to the George Romero's big invention for the zombie, which wasn't in the first movie, but was in Dawn of the Dead, which was we think we're rational, thinking human beings, making choices every minute, smart choices, but we're really just zombies shambling around the mall, buying what we're told, doing what we're told.
Well, there's levels of zombieism in our lives, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's levels of zombies. There's that particular level. And now Mike here has not seen Dawn of the Dead yet.
Yes, this was mentioned three times already.
For which he feels very bad. Mm-hmm. But it's one of my favorite movies. I think it's the best sounding movie ever made. And but that's the big sly anti-consumerism thing that goes on in that movie. That's why it's one of the reasons it's so admired. Is that you see the zombies sort of wandering around this mall, and it doesn't look all that different from people walking around the Mall of America on any given day. Just walking around, bumping into stuff, getting on the roller coaster.
Well, Shaun of the Dead was like that, too.
Shaun of the Dead was like that as well.
But that, in this book, this is the people, the zombies are not like that.
They're not like that, which is good.
That's very different.
That's very different. The zombies in this book are...
They're feral.
They're feral. They're pure eating machines. They're kind of like...
I like the way they describe... a lot of the generals or whoever are talking in the book, talking about this enemy is a, and it really is, in a way, it is an allegory to terrorism. Mm-hmm. This enemy is an enemy who you cannot negotiate with.
Yep.
That if you kill, they come back even with even more.
Yeah.
And that there is no, you can't surround them and cut off their food supply because they don't need it.
They don't need it, yeah.
They have infinite patience.
Yep.
They have infinite, they can go in the water and they don't need to breathe. They don't have all the, and they just have one, they
one
just
goal.
Move, yeah, they just move in a linear fashion and they don't,
well,
they
it's
don't
like,
stop.
It's like the main problem with suicide bombers is, you can put up security, you can put up all kinds of security, but most of that security will fall down eventually if the person who is trying to bomb the place is willing to die,
and willing to wait because our resolve to attend.
Yeah, if there's no, if
well, it's a human thing. What you attend to, you start becomes part of the background eventually because our attention can't stay.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Stay in. Out of the back of the ground into the field.
Yeah,
goes back. It recedes back again. Yeah. I mean, it's just how we're built.
Yeah, individually, that's certainly true.
And as a people, as a nation, as a race, as a species,
it's really, yeah. I mean, before 9/11, I remember this so clearly because I remind myself that before airplanes hit tall buildings on September 11th. Some years back, the biggest news stories in the country, in the United States, were President Bush's lobbying, campaigning against use of stem cells. And the other big one was shark attacks. Lots and lots of shark attacks apparently were going on. Mm-hmm. Sharks were everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
But that's just because the media
had to have something.
Had to have a story.
And now it's just a dead Nicole.
Yeah, now it's that's dead Anna.
Anna Nicole Simpson.
Yeah. I'm not going to say
a that. Zombie in her own right.
A zombie in her own right. Did you see on the news today that they finally figured out how she died?
No.
Yeah, it was like food poisoning.
Get out.
Yeah, she had an 80-year-old wiener in her mouth. Should we cut that out or should we not?
We'll have to go back. It has nothing to do with this book.
I can't believe I got to tell you that I'm online. Awesome. I'm going to tell that for days.
All right, so then what was the other point?
I had no more. Oh, no, we were going to move into...
No, but what we were just discussing right now about the enemy, the...
The enemy that... Well, the enemy that has no sense of self-preservation is...
a deadly enemy.
It's extremely deadly. You can't stop it. And in the case of the zombies, I mean, with terrorist cells, you do have a finite... I mean, it's a renewable resource, but it's not as readily renewable. You have to find, if you recruit new suicide bombers, suicide hackers, which, despite what the media says, is still kind of hard to do. But with zombies, in this book, there's an endless supply, at least at first. In the later chapters of the book, they do actually come up with a fairly effective way of.
Well, that's the other thing, I think. I mean, it is about war.
Yeah.
And it is about how we fight wars and how people were...
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about...
Inefficient or kind of stuck in how to try to meet this enemy.
Yeah,
once they broke out of their denial about what it was, now they have to meet the enemy, and they go into their habitual ways of trying to solve the problem, and it
just
doesn't work. In
you
fact,
know,
it makes it worse.
You know, just as Romero's Dawn of the Dead was a sort of sly comment on consumerism and everything like that, this book is a very sly.
Well,
very,
that's
but very,
sly.
But
very,
it's not sly.
It's a
but
frying
it's,
pan over the head.
This book is a frying pan over the head about the inability of the military to fight the current war, or it takes a while for the military is always ready to fight the last war.
Right, that's exactly.
And
they're fighting that war.
They're fighting the last war. And this is and
which war? The last big war, like World War II? They've been trying to refight World War II now since.
Yeah, well, I know.
Korea, Vietnam.
They really
what
have.
Will we learn?
They really have. But how do you fight a frontless war? I mean, in this book,
that's a good point.
How do you fight a frontless war? I mean, this book it is a completely frontless war for the most part until the end when they have.
It's a backless and strapless.
It's a backless and strapless war, but not a crotchless war. Thank
crotchless?
God for that.
Some of the zombies didn't have their crotches.
They didn't have legs. Yeah. No, there's. I apologize for that, people. No, but they talk explicitly about that, how the siege of Yonkers,
mm-hmm.
the Yonkers battle, which is really well done.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the super high tech stuff, and we'll talk about that, the failure of technology here now in a second. They have all the super high tech equipment.
Oh, you okay? We're on reserve battery.
Yeah,
we need to plug you. We need to get an extension for you. Pause.
We have to acknowledge a technical difficulty.
We had a weird little blip there.
we've erased it. So technically,
we hit our shame.
Yeah, we hit our shame. We're all ashamed to go.
So we were going to have you talk about
the reticle plan. Yeah, the reticle plan, which is really interesting because it's really sort of morally ambiguous. Because,
Well, it's about saving humanity. It's
yes.
like throw the baby out and keep the bath water.
No, no,
Isn't
no. No, it's not.
that what
No, it's a plan to make the really hard choices. Sort of take those it outlines the choices that you have to make, and you have to make these choices without emotion.
Oh, emotion.
Any emotion,
Yeah.
yeah. And then they talk a bit, with Redeker that, he's a man without emotion. He seems to have no use for it. But
Yeah,
with
the person who's describing Redeker talks about him that way.
yeah, exactly. And that person who describes him is very interesting. I did not see that end of that particular vignette coming and revealed that person describing Redeker colleagues very powerful.
Right. Yeah, you did not.
No, I didn't.
And you don't know if he's like has a split personality and now he's like going into another personality, or is he crazy, or is he just
Or is he, I mean, has
sort of
he?
doing what the Nazis did when they moved to Venezuela, Argentina, and created a whole
Create a
different.
new, create a new, new personality, or create a plausible. I was only taking orders. Yeah, so he's only taking orders. But for the Redeker plan, it's morally ambiguous because where it comes from. Which is a South African plan that they came up with during apartheid.
Kind of like that idea of using like science that was used during the concentration camps, using that now
That's right. That's
for
right. That's a good. That's a
yeah.
comparison. Yeah, Nazi science. Is it morally? If it helps save lives now, can you use it? The cost
Right. And the plan was.
the plan was to take and preserve the most necessary basic tools of civilization, and in this case, it was military, first of all. Basic natural, basic like resources and infrastructure, like power station, city center, retreat to a defensible position,
The hell with everybody.
and what about civilians? What about the people that the military is supposed to protect? Take as many as you can without sacrificing the likelihood that you will be able to maintain that position.
Right.
And by the time these Redeker plans, and called the Redeker plan in South Africa, it's called something else in other countries. By the time that those come into
And
play,
that plan gets passed around,
it gets
right?
passed around, it gets renamed. The Chinese have a version of it called something else. But by the time that they get implemented, the situation has gotten so bad that the choices that the military must make look very much like the worst kind of betrayal. Leaving all these civilians who are depending on them, like literally, they're sitting there in garrisons, waiting, hoping that the military with the tanks and the helicopters, they're right there. It's like they're going to help us, and then they just pick up.
Well, and isn't that interesting, because it sort of brings up this idea that there is this contract, right, between governments and people, that governments are supposed to help people, right? That you can depend on the, but there it's sort of saying the reality is that the government sort of perpetuates itself in the hell of the
Well,
people
yeah, that's one way.
in a
That's one
way.
way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it is to say that some that in this case, that the situation gets has the situations can get so bad that that you can't save everybody. You can't even save most.
Is
But
it,
you can
is
save. You can save.
It isn't a betrayal, though. I mean, it's a betrayal from that point of view. Yeah, well, from the point of view of saving. Looking,
if you're sitting there watching the helicopters leave right. and then drop gas bombs on you, you take it personally.
I'm a little hurt.
I don't know. I just expected more. You know, I'm not mad, really. It's just that, you know, I'm
we're breaking up.
I'm disappointed. It feels awful, and you know, and the there's a modern day maybe I shouldn't bring this up, but I'm going to when the United States in the first Gulf War fomented revolution in Iraq, especially among the Kurds, to overthrow overthrow Saddam,
right?
And they did it. They did it, and then when it came right down to it, the government just picked up and left. Or even more recent, in Rwanda, when the UN, when the genocide started happening in Rwanda, and the UN just picked up and left, let them hack each other to bits. Yeah. Well, betrayal on that kind of level.
Right. I mean, and that's sort of a debate going on right now. Like, what's the, you know, is government supposed to be shrunk down so small that, you know, it doesn't, what is its obligation?
Yeah, what is its obligation? Yeah.
And to whom?
Yeah.
You know, is it to?
It's kind of interesting because, you know, in the book, it reaches, you know, the degradation of society has reached a point where it could actually collapse all the way. Down to
the end of humanity.
The end of humanity, they make the choice by implementing the Redeker plan, make the choice to preserve the seeds of humanity. And there's precedents for this in science fiction.
Well, I was just thinking of Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica. Are you going to tell me something about a show that I haven't seen yet?
Well, no. If you think about Battlestar Galactica, almost all of humanity is wiped out except for 45,000 people.
Right. Yes, that's right.
And at one point, they're having a conversation with a Cylon. This is further along than you are. And the Cylons say, well, you know, humanity thinks that somehow, you know, it has a right to exist, but who says you deserve it? I mean, what have you really done to deserve to exist?
Ouch.
And you go,
Simply wanting to is not enough.
Right. What makes you think you deserve, get to exist?
Get to exist anymore.
What is it about your species that's... Yeah.
No, that's
and
interesting.
It goes, you know, we made this point before, but...
Possibly.
There's prototypes that go way in stories about humanity that go way, way back, you know? Mm-hmm. Somebody is deciding, does humanity Sodom and Gomorrah?
Mm-hmm.
Where Abraham gets to decide, is there enough righteous people here for this place to exist?
Yep.
Noah's Ark. The Babylonian survival. There's those stories that say humanity's at the brink, and then God says, you know, we'll keep a couple of you, but the rest are...
Yeah, the righteous get the...
And you start
all
over again.
Yeah, sort of a radical evolutionary moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe there was something that happened where humanity had to...
Yeah.
I mean, man, there weren't that many of us at one point. You know, you decide who survives.
Oh, me?
Mm-hmm.
Me. Of course.
What makes you think you deserve to survive?
That's the problem. Everybody thinks they deserve to survive.
I'm thinking of that Simpsons episode where Lisa and Marge go on one ship because the world's coming to an end.
Uh-huh.
And then Homer goes and Bart go on the other ship, and Rosie O'Donnell's on that ship. And what's her name from Howie Mandel?
Howie Mandel.
And I think Roseanne's ex-husband. And then that plant.
Tom Arnold.
And that goofy guy from MTV and the Pauly Shore, and the whole thing goes
that one doesn't make it
straight into the sun.
Oh dear. So anyway, did we talk through the Redeker plan? We had all kinds of interesting stuff to say about the Redeker plan.
We had great things about the Redeker plan.
You were talking about,
but we were talking about, you know, the man who devised the plan,
Redeker,
and then he. We don't know if he's lost his mind or not.
Yeah, or if he's just split off that part of his personality.
And, because the plan was devised basically for a great evil.
Yeah, it was a way to save the white minority in apartheid South Africa, should a violent uprising of the black majority.
Well, in take a place. And I guess you can compare it to, you know, let's talk about the current war and that. Mm-hmm. People, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of Iraqis have died, and they were deemed to be expendable in a way.
Yeah, no.
I mean, exactly. You would hope that's not how they would put it, but I think that's how they've put it.
Yeah. Or
in order to serve this,
or in
quote
in,
higher purpose.
In another brilliant discussion that will be now forever lost, you and I were talking about the first Iraq War, where the decision was made by United States government to foment an uprising among the Kurds, mm-hmm. And the Kurds did that to a degree. And just when their asses were in the sling, the United States withdrew,
right?
And they were destroyed, really destroyed.
Well, you know,
or the UN pulling out of Rwanda,
right?
Just abandoning because the UN was in a position they were in great danger. In the UN weren't signed up for that, apparently. The powder blue helmets. And so they pulled back to a safer position.
They only go in to do makeovers.
Right? Yeah, exactly. The powder blue helmets. The blue helmets pulled out and let the genocide just run its course.
Right. Well, it's almost like, you know, it's like, you know, saying, well, just you get a fever with it. Let it burn.
Let it burn. Yeah. That's I don't know where I heard this, but it was some emissary from some African country saying that peacekeeping missions simply prolong the war because people who have been fighting for generations will continue to fight for generations as long as they can live that way, but if the situation gets so bad that people on both sides just look up and they say this is nuts, we cannot do this another day. I don't care what it costs, we have to end this. That's and only then does it end.
Is that how the 100-year war ended? I only read nonfiction. I only read fiction.
I fear we've gone astray.
Well,
because we've talked all this stuff.
You know what this reminds me of? The endless loop thing in Star Trek, where the ship keeps blowing up and they're playing cards. I feel like have we already talked about this? Or do we need to talk? And who says we're deserving to talk about this?
And you're going to talk about the Planet of the Apes again, aren't you?
Yes, and then
look at our notes.
Let's just hit these topics. Just hit them. Certain people get chosen. Who does the choosing?
Who does the choosing? What else we got?
Final
here?
Points.
Oh, technology.
We already talked about that.
I talked about technology. All right. Blah, blah, blah.
Failure of technology, the last war, Yonkers.
Yonkers, really got to that. Yonkers.
So, anything else? Can we put a stake in this puppy?
Brad Pitt apparently won the bidding war to get to have the film rights. We had a long and again brilliant conversation.
We're doing a recap of conversation you've never heard.
I've heard this done on podcasts before. So we are not exploring new territory here.
Oh, Lord.
We are walking. We're treading well-traveled ground.
You think some books just need to remain as books and not go into the world of a movie?
Yes.
And I don't know if this book should go into a movie or not.
Oh, no. It definitely needs to go into a movie. Yeah. As with a lot of books that I read these days, there are some scenes that are just...
They have an eye towards it being a movie.
Yeah, I mean, they're cinematic. I mean, you can tell where they set the damn And there, it's not true throughout. It's not true for this whole book, but there are set pieces and stuff like that are, I mean, you just know how they're gonna film them. They're described as though they were a TV show or a movie, or even like some guy running around with a handheld camera. The Battle of Yonkers, that's gonna be a handheld camera bit.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So I know I have a way to get towards ending this is, if you wish there could have been something in this book that wasn't in this book, or that would have made this book different, what do you wish that would have been?
Well, you know, I'm very curious. I mean, it's kind of hard. This book does a pretty good job of exploring, you know, the various facets of the phenomenon, you know, the origins, the dawning of it. And, you know, you can just read through the table of contents. You know, it does a good job with that. I would like to have a subjective experience of what it's like to become a zombie. Have been bitten.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And know what's going to happen to you.
Almost like
yeah, but by the rules of the book, you can't do that because
you could. I mean, somebody could have been bitten, and they could have been recording their last.
Yes, you're right. You know, they could have. They could have done that.
And there's precedence for that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, the guy
like chart like the book Flowers for
Flowers for Algernon.
Yeah. I was going to say Flowers for Agamemnon.
Flowers for Agamemnon. And Fritters for Clytemnestra.
Child, baby Fritters for Clytemnestra.
No, I'm thinking of that famous footage of the guy who was caught in the ash cloud.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Or even.
Or the
even Duke. I Legend, in the book because he's doing those experiments it. And
read the book. I read the book. I've seen all the movies versions.
Okay, movies are the new books.
Movies are the new books.
So, is that it?
And reality is a new movie. I think so. Yeah, we had our little. Tennis game where we tried to name zombies.
Well, wait, I wanted to say what I wish would have been in the book.
Do we allow them, folks? Okay. Through popular acclamation.
I decree that. There's a couple of things. I wish they would have explained. It was the idea of zombies having sex. It was brought up somewhere in there. Like, so were there Quislings having sex with zombies and and all that? So I would like to see that expert a little bit. Yeah. How you would have done it. I also want to know if babies could become like babies in the womb could become zombies.
Yeah,
I've heard more about that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's a couple movies where that touches on that.
Baby zombie.
Yeah, I think it was in
Baby Zombie Gap. It would have started off.
Would there be a baby zombie gap? Would there be high quality toys for babies?
Actually, they're perfect babies because they don't produce feces.
Exactly. That's right. They're actually quite clean.
You just don't want to nurse them.
And they don't have teeth. Yeah, you really don't want to nurse them.
And then I think I also would have wanted, you alluded it, I don't know which version of this. But you know, Cuba becomes a world power.
That's right.
South America.
Yeah.
You know, it would be interesting to write the next.
Yeah.
What was the world like with those things in power?
Yeah, you know, I have a feeling that Mr. Brooks here is not done with zombies.
You're never done with zombies.
No, you're never done with zombies. I mean, you think you can get them all, but like they're still walking around the bottom of the ocean. And once in a while, you know, with global warming, the ones up in the permafrost are going to defrost and they come walking south looking for food. Mm-hmm. You got to keep the dogs around.
Yeah, who are the zombies now?
Now?
Who are the zombies?
The people who go to the drive-through megachurches are zombies. Mm-hmm.
So there's the religious zombies. And
people who just sort of check out. You know, they in certain areas of their lives, they just sort of give up control.
I don't think that's what the zombie is.
No?
No. Those zombies didn't check out. Those zombies became pure appetite.
Oh, in this book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that appetite. Yeah. So those of us who are pure appetite.
Oh, then I'm a zombie. I'm a zombie. You saw me slurping down that beef stroganoff. It wasn't even beef.
I don't even remember.
It was elk.
Elk.
Yeah, I was just like.
Yeah, there was a zombie overturn. Overturn. Yeah, there was
that. Very nearly pure appetite. Yeah. Because it's, you know, zombies are creatures driven by very basic desire.
As are we all. The zombie within. Embrace the zombie within.
There you go.
Cuddle the zombie within.
So you know, write that. If you ever see that on a fortune cookie.
And then our next podcast will have another book. What are we planning on doing this once a month, maybe?
Yeah, I think once a month. You know,
we could do short stories.
Yeah, I don't want to all. I don't want to only read books for the podcast, but once a month would be good. And when we get this page,
we might do splinter podcasts. We might do my own podcast. Oh. We can do just other.
Yeah. Dude, you're breaking up the band. And we might have guests like the elusive and ominous.
And we're going to try to get Skyping, so maybe somebody will want to Skype us someday.
But what we're going to try to do is we're going to get up. We're doing this now before we even have a webpage up. We're going to get that webpage up, and obviously it will already be up. And have a couple of episodes in the and then throw some techno savvy, maybe even set a performance page.
Yep. And then, so maybe we'll end by just doing a little, I'll think of everything you can about every zombie thing and just list names so that people want to explore zombies at their local public library.
They can.
You can learn more about zombies by
Googling zombie. No, when I was Googling zombie, I ended up on Amazon, and you know, helpful readers make their little lists, and there's a couple of really good zombie lists on Amazon of zombie reading, lots of books, zombie movies go all the way back to early talkies, I Walk Through the Zombie, White Zombie, and all the way up to World War Z coming out in 2008.
Very good, man. And there's a really good episode on Buffy of zombies. A couple of zombie episodes. So, all right. So we're going to put a stake in this.
Put a stake in it.
Cut its head off and shove garlic in its mouth.
And burn its brains.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.